Caution, the Mark Unger Show contains adult content intended for an adult audience. And besides that, he's really weird. Welcome to the Mark Unger Show with national marriage speaker and author of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage, Mark Unger. This is your source for practical, down-to-earth marriage advice without all the over-spiritualization or romantic nonsense. And now the host of the Mark Unger Show, Mark Unger.
And the crowd goes wild. They're listening to the Mark Unger Show, the show that deals with all things concerning
marriage.
I am, of course, the one, the only Mark Unger.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Joining me, as always, is the lovely and charming Diane Brierley.
Don't run away from your feelings.
And the incomparable Ross Allen Skorzewski.
I feel so funky.
Engineering the show, as always, pushing buttons, twisting knobs, and trying to stay awake during the production of this show. The incomparable Timothy Robert Gray, making sure that we come live to you from the exact center of the galactic universe, Green Bay, Wisconsin. Actually, the show's not live. We recorded this one ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But it's live as far as you're concerned. It's being live streamed. First time it's being brought to the world. This is the show that deals with your marital challenges, relational conundrums, and dating dilemmas that you can email to us at radio@markunger.com. This is how the show works. You can send us a question about anything under the sun. You get to remain totally anonymous. We get to be brutally honest. Okay? And also, we're looking for people who have any kind of arguments that you've been, especially long-running arguments. You and your wife arguing about the same stupid thing over and over and over again. Send us your argument. Let us know where you stand, his side, her side, and we will rule. We will jump in. We'll give you our opinion on who wins and who loses. Those are my favorite ones, actually.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I like those the best, too.
Emails from couples that are fighting over something stupid.
They're the least emotionally stressing.
Oh, yeah, most of that's just kind of... I mean, they are arguing about it, but it's usually not a big deal. You know, it's kind of fun, so...
Yes.
All right, what you got for today?
Okay, you know how we were talking the other day about watching shows that had no redeeming quality.
Yeah.
Like, have you ever seen any of the Real Housewives shows? I've never watched
No, I've never really watched them.
Real Housewives, New Jersey, Atlanta,
what's
New
the difference,
York,
though,
Beverly
if
Hills.
If you're watching Desperate Housewives and the Real, what's the difference?
I don't know. That's what I don't know because I don't know. This is a reality show.
Real Housewives is
a reality show.
Is a reality show.
Those
Desperate
are real
Housewives
people.
Is just, you know.
Fictionalized.
Okay,
it's
so
like a soap.
Desperate Housewives is just playing out in a fictitious setting what really happens in the Real Housewives scenario.
I don't know if it's real.
No,
it's
just a show.
It's so fabricated.
It's like Star Wars, Ross.
Yeah.
It didn't really happen.
It's just made up. It's just made up.
Oh, and I think we broke his bubble.
I don't think
that he was a Luke Skywalker fan.
Santa Claus.
I don't think that there are people who actually live out the real Desperate Housewives.
But Real
stories.
Housewives, I presume, is. I've never seen one. I presume they're reality shows.
It's following the reality, apparently real people.
And how real that
whatever.
Really is,
okay.
I don't know. But.
So I've never seen that. I don't know. But apparently there's a woman now who's done the Real Housewives of the Bible. She's making a reality show with a purpose, apparently. Disappointed over reality shows not providing solutions to the very thing they advertise, troubled relationships, web-based evangelist and author Ty Adams decided to produce a biblically-based reality show, The Real Housewives of the Bible, to teach women that before finding love, they need to go back to the source of true love, God. The Bible captures, she says, the very essence of what love is. If you want to know how to navigate or experience love its original, then you have to go to the manufacturer. The Real Housewives of the Bible follows 12 women in a three-part DVD meant to be watched in a group setting for 6 weeks. The series is accompanied with a Bible study guide where churchgoers, specifically single women, can learn from those who have experienced broken relationships in the past. The show takes a look at women in the Bible with issues such as adultery, infertility, and shortage of available men for singles, gives a modern representation with one of the women in her show. So it takes modern women and pairs them up with, I guess, Bible stories or whatever. So she says she wants to eradicate the divorce rate among churchgoers and transform the church so that non-believers can go to the church for answers. I think that the world has not necessarily looked at the church for answers, and I understand that because the divorce rate among the churches is just as high as the world. So why would they look to us for answers when we have not stabilized our own marriages?
Hmm.
It was released in July, I guess, the
Have
DVD
you seen
series.
It?
No, I haven't. I should go and see if I can find
Real
it.
Real Housewives of the Bible. I wonder what that's going to be like.
I don't know. I wonder if it's good, if it's lame, if it's, I don't know. I wouldn't think that it's for rent on Netflix, so I would have to try to find it.
It's sad to say, I would expect it to be lame.
Yes.
But maybe sad. Not. It'd be nice if it's not lame.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find anything or clips or something and see what it looks like. Because it would be nice if it was
the Bible.
Something that you could actually use that would be helpful.
But they're targeting singles with this.
Yeah, single women, apparently.
That's interesting.
Rather than married women trying to solve their problems.
Boy, if it's anything like all the other single messages, it's got to be bogus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless they're really ready to break the stupid out there.
About singles.
We got a great DVD on singles, man. You guys got to get this new DVD, Singles and Stinking Thinking. This is one of the best DVDs, if not the best DVD I've ever done in my life. This thing is fabulous. And if we could get all singles listening to this message, it would help to straighten out their brains.
It'd rock the world.
I'm telling you.
It would definitely influence, you know, the direction of the church.
I mean, at least get the conversation. I'm bringing up stuff most of them have never talked about. There are these over-spiritualized, nonsensical concepts that the church has. My guess is the very things that I preach against will probably be supported
in
and acted out in this series.
Well, I'll see what I can find. It'll be interesting.
I hate to slam it without having seen it, but I would love to be surprised. I'd be pleasantly surprised.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the stuff that singles get is just lame, and it is not a true biblical picture.
It's all the over-romanticized nonsense that you speak against.
Soulmates, and God has that one special person, and God will bring you the person. You don't have to do anything, and if you just, and all this other stupidity that is destroying our singles, getting them so confused, waiting forever to get married, and then so miserable after they get married because they've done it so wrong from the get-go. But, you know, let's hold out a branch of hope here that
maybe it's good.
It isn't nonsense. That would be
okay.
Nice.
Here's an rather odd question.
That's good because I'm a rather odd man.
Well, then maybe you'll have a rather odd answer.
And Ross is extremely odd.
Mm-hmm.
Why'd you call me Rod?
Rod, because I couldn't get my words out.
It was Ross and odd.
I want Ross and odd
at the
same
time.
Which would be Rod.
Rod.
So that's right. Then you're Rod.
It's Ross when he's
Rod Allen.
Rod Allen.
You're Rod Allen. Okay. In the movie Braveheart, this is the question.
I love that movie.
Get it move on, lad, before you feel the back of my hand.
I do, too, now that I've actually seen it.
When did you see it?
With you.
Like about two weeks ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
About a month ago, it was actually.
Was that the one we watched? And
yes.
You'd never seen it before.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah, I did.
Freedom!
I liked it.
And the crazy guy. I didn't like him. He wasn't right in the head.
Yes.
That's an awesome.
So the question says, in the movie Braveheart, Mel Gibson and his wife get married to avoid the government. In what role does the government play in marriage? Except for the tax breaks, why even get married with the state and not just with a pastor? Aren't pastors by law required to file it with the state anyway?
There's a legal component to marriage when it comes to sharing of assets. And there's no reason to hide it from the government.
Yeah.
In Braveheart, you would, because their government meant they got to screw your wife before you
on
did.
On the wedding night.
Yeah.
Right to prenuptia.
Oh.
You know, if the government does that, okay.
Yeah. So we're not living in Braveheart times. Thankfully.
People make the weirdest connections.
But we get these weird questions about, do you have to be married with the state?
Can't
do you have to be married with the pastor?
Church?
Can
right.
we just
like,
be
like
married
the guy
in our
with,
hearts?
You're against marijuana, but Jesus turned water into wine. What?
They connect some strange dots.
That strange was kind of bizarre. Dots. In Braveheart, they hid their marriage. Yes. If you getting married in a church meant that the local mayor gets to have sex with your bride on
before
your
you
wedding
do.
Night before
yeah.
you do, or even after you do.
You got that right.
Yeah, we would start hiding that.
I'll be the first one to hide it.
But I don't think that's really their question. Sometimes it is. I think it is. Well, do we have to do this? Can't we just be married? We love each other.
Can't the pastor just marry us? But that's what I'm saying. Sure. You guys have done wedding ceremonies. Don't you have to file it with the state? Yes.
Whether you have to or not, it's just, why would you not?
Why
would you hide it from? Why would you just have a pastor's wedding and not report it to the state? What's the point of that?
I don't know. I don't know why you would want to bother with that. I don't know.
Well, I'm saying it's a bizarre question. Now, if you're for example, the Bible says you're supposed to obey the laws of the land.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just saw an article about a week ago or something, that the Army said that chaplains have to start performing same-sex marriages.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, a whole bunch of chaplains have come on and said, no, we won't do it.
We won't do it. Good for them.
Because at some point, even though the Bible says we're supposed to obey the laws of the land, when you start going against the laws of God, the laws of God supersede the laws of man. But there's nothing like that in marriage at this point. Why in the world would someone avoid? Why would you ask a pastor to marry you
and then not file it with the state?
From the state? That makes no sense.
I don't
know.
Maybe you aren't divorced all the way, or maybe there's some other extenuating circumstance. You're trying to be a polygamist.
If you're married to 12 other women and have 14 kids, yeah, you might want to hide that.
I don't know. Maybe someone, I don't know.
How do you even do life today as a married couple?
Without the legal status.
You know, when you go into,
I can see people doing it for tax reasons, actually. They're trying to think of one. Because I know of older couples who, for whatever reason, don't want to get married because it messes up their tax status.
Yeah, I've known people who've gotten divorced for tax reasons.
And which is real sicko, in my opinion. But at least, okay, if that's what you're talking about, okay, yeah, could that mean that you could go to your pastor and have a church wedding and just not report to the state? I guess. In answer to you, I don't know that there's a legal requirement. No. I've never heard that I'm obligated to report anything to the state. So you don't have to file
a marriage license. Well, I suppose because if your state doesn't recognize, let's say, gay marriage, but someone wants to perform that ceremony so that they'll feel like they're married, it's not legal, but people do that, don't they? Like in states
it's done all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you don't have any legal recourse. So if you get married and you do this and she leaves you with...
I suppose if some couple came to me and could show for whatever reason that the estate and stuff, they'll be just a mess if they marry.
Yeah.
Especially older in life. You don't have this problem with young people.
Gosh, wouldn't it be a mess anyway?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if they're willing to do that, I could see myself. I'd have to work it through. First of all, I don't marry anybody who's not a member of my church in the first place. So you can't just stop by and get married by me anyway. But I could see going, okay, let's have and just have a church wedding and have everybody invite everybody and have them do the celebrate and stuff, but nobody files any papers.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if there's a law against that or not. I'm not aware that there is.
Hmm.
Speaking of, there was an email that came in last week. I didn't even send it to you. Someone asking, I think they're from Colorado. Will you please come out and do our wedding for us?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, bless their hearts.
They must listen to you and know you. And
yeah. No, it'd be great if we could stop by for the ceremony and the party. That'd be great.
Yeah.
But I've had to get
selective.
Much more selective. In our church, we've just changed the rules.
Mm-hmm.
We won't marry you if you're not a member of the church. Now, each pastor is allowed, to break that rule if they need for whatever reason of conscience that they might have. So it's not a hard, fast, we're going to excommunicate the pastor if he marries you and you're not a member of the church. But generally, that's the rule for us. If you're not part of the faith family, because we take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. You have to do the premarital and go through all of that, and it's not just...
But I'll admit, I've oftentimes have gotten in situations where I performed a ceremony for someone I didn't know at all because they were a friend of a family member or a,
You did it for one of my family members.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that. I mean, that stuff comes
up. But that was a while
ago.
It was like 7 years ago.
Like one of my relatives just recently. How do you say no to your brother?
Yeah. It's something because, And that's why we allow these guys, it's fine. That's your own call. But generally speaking, you come to our church and say, we'd like to get married. The first question we'll ask you, are you a member? And if they say no, we'll say no.
Mm-hmm. Then you need to become a member.
I will say, however, some of my worst marriages, those that don't last and wind up in divorce, are in those contexts where I don't really know them and they don't know me. And I'm just doing this because I'm friends of the family or something. Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe I'll even change someday and not even do that. But I'll still, we'll do that.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, if we don't know you, if we don't even know your family.
Yeah. No.
I'm pretty sure the answer is definite no in that case.
No.
There you have it.
Okay. You want to take a break?
All right. We'll take a break, and we'll be back with more of your emails that may or may not make sense to us right after this.
Have a marriage dilemma? Email your questions to radio@markgunger.com, and Mark can answer them during one of our shows. If you like listening to Mark Gunger on the radio, you'll love watching him live. Each week, Mark presents his Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage seminar in cities across the country. This wildly entertaining and informative event is designed to bring hope and positive change to your marriage, improve your communication, help your spouse to better understand you and your needs.
Men are more interested in sex than their wives. Why would you say that? Because generally it's true. But it's not always true. There are a lot of relationships where the wife is much more interested in sex than her husband. If you're here tonight and your wife is much more interested in sex than you are, I think I speak for all the men here when I say that we hate you.
Don't wait. Events are filling up fast. To view a schedule and register for an upcoming event, visit us today online at laughyourway.com. That's laughyourway.com.
Brand new and available now on DVD, Manly Man 3, Time to Man Up. In this third year of the conference, Mark Gunger, comedian Ken Davis, Ed Gunger, and Paul Coughlin challenge men to stop being passive and become courageous leaders among their family and friends.
I think it's amazing. I've been sitting backstage watching this, and I think I get it. We have been neutered. Am I wrong? That isn't the sad part. We volunteered for it.
Order your Manly Man 3 DVD with over 6 hours of both hilarious and serious sessions giving men practical tools to become the man of God he's called them to be. Visit us online at laughyourway.com or call 866-525-2844. Don't wait. Order your copy today at laughyourway.com.
I've never seen this whole thing.
You have to see the whole thing. It was just on this last weekend. We were watching part of it. We just watched part of it.
Nothing about it appeals. I've seen pieces of it, you know, because it was played over and over again.
I truly don't like it, but it's entertaining to watch.
Is it?
I don't like the whole story that she's this nice girl and she becomes a slutty chick at the end in order to get the greaser.
Oh, that's how it does it?
Yes.
Oh, she becomes a slutty chick.
Oh, yeah, she becomes a slutty chick so she gets the boy. I mean,
she starts boinking the guy?
Well, she's this nice, straight-up sweet girl when she meets him during the summer.
The good news is she becomes born again the other way.
Right. And he acts more normal and not so greaser when he goes back to school and she goes to school there. Then he's back to his greaser self. And so she becomes the born-again slutty girl in order to get him. So I hate that part of it.
Well, that's lovely.
I hate that part of it.
All right. I'll probably never watch it.
Probably not. This email says, I'm a big fan of Laugh Your Way, so is my hubby.
Really, really, really big fan.
I have to tell you, I'm a social worker, and listening to your radio show is a cathartic experience every day.
Is that legal?
I so wish I had a
sort of... Sounds pornographic.
A cathartic experience? Oh my gosh.
What's cathartic mean?
If something is cathartic, it helps you work through and release things.
Again, pornographic. Yeah, no. So what I try to do when I have sex.
No, it's not like that. She says,
You know what cathartic is, Ross?
Cathartic.
Cathartic.
Yes.
Something.
What does that mean?
Like a catharsis. It's the launching point into something that's like
major. Because some people can actually hear you talk.
Oh, sorry. Yes.
That doesn't happen magically, Ross. Yes, yeah.
Cathartic.
Talk in the microphone.
When something is like a birthing center for some like major change in your life, this was very cathartic.
Cathartic, okay.
Cathartic.
This trip, Vietnam, for some people, was a very cathartic experience.
No, a cathartic thing is something when you use it to work through.
Ask me my thoughts on it and then go and correct me. This isn't school. I know
Ross,
you have this
Ross, please
teacher.
Describe cathartic.
Well, we don't want cathartic.
Come up in front of the class.
That says evacuating the bowels or purgative. Wait, let's go for catharsis.
Cathartic. Dude, I listen to you. You make me have a bowel movement. That's what that lady just said.
The purging of the emotions or relieving of emotional tensions, especially through certain kinds of art as tragedy or music.
Again, sounds like sex again to me.
Psychotherapy that encourages
the other ones, a means of catharsis,
permits
though.
The discharge of pent-up socially unacceptable effects. So it's like you're releasing. That's what I said.
You said it was a bowel movement.
Well, that's what cathartic said.
Is that what you were talking about when I was gone?
No. Just because that's what you were doing while you were gone.
No one knew you were gone until you just said it just now.
That's right. No, this lady, listen.
I got to go to the bathroom. He took off.
I had to.
She says she's a social worker and listening to the radio show is a cathartic experience.
Yes.
Which means we make her go to the bowel, have a bowel movement when she listens to us.
That's one meaning
of
it.
Oh, one meaning. How do we know that's not the meaning?
It might be. She might be having bowel movements. Oh my gosh. Seriously, boys.
Okay. I do feel much better.
Ross likes going to the show because it helps him have a cathartic moment.
Yes.
He can go then.
I am cleansed.
Oh my gosh.
Oh man. Mark Gunger Show. A cathartic experience.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay, okay.
Seriously, that's one of the definitions.
That's one of the definitions.
A purging of the bowels.
Yes.
Well, let's hope she didn't mean that.
Where do you see that?
Look up cathartic.
I am.
Under dictionary.com, I looked up cathartic.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at catharsis.
See, that's what it says. I looked up cathartic. It said, of or pertaining to catharsis, second definition, evacuating the bowels, purgative. That's and then the noun is a purgative.
Your show makes me want to go take a crap. So that's what I think. I really appreciate it because I get all stuffed up and stuff and listen to Mark Gunger's show. And pretty soon I'm just whistling Dixie.
And
it's a fabulous thing.
I don't need any X-Lax.
I listen to your program. All right. Well, let's hope it doesn't mean that.
I think it's just more the emotional, psychological purging is what I think. Not the bowel purging. Let's go with that.
I hope
you're
all about bowel purging, because if not, you're going to be one bound up individual.
No.
But the show's not about that.
The show's not about letting people
have
their...
She says it's a cathartic experience listening to the show.
I think
which it may be for many.
It might be.
Oh, man. Now, that's entertainment. I don't care who you are right there. That's funny. You're there.
What's the word if you're throwing up all of the time? Maybe that's what our show is.
I don't know.
Bulimic?
Bulimic? Your show gives out you have a bulimic experience.
No. Yeah. Let's
I go and I go and eat. It's like listening to 4 or 5 Mark Unger shows a day, and then you go purge your stomach of it. That's what a bulimic person does, right? They eat, and then they throw it all up. Mm-hmm. I hope we don't do that to people.
Okay, right, so she listens to the show, and then she feels relieved. Okay.
Okay, she says, I so wish I had a swirly goat and chicken button on my desk. Of course, I couldn't use them. I'd be fired in about 10 minutes, but it's nice to fantasize about.
Where does she work?
She's a social worker.
Oh, yeah, when you listen to people? Well, I can't find a job. I didn't want to go looking for a job. Yeah, and I was a little bit too busy, and I don't know what I'm going to do with my life.
I can definitely see that being a social worker kind of thing.
Yes. She says, you are all fantastic. Thanks for sharing straight up truth. And she's been praying for Debbie and that you and the Gunger family will continue to do so. This is her question.
And we need to pray for her irritable bowel syndrome. Apparently we help that, though.
My husband and I have been married for a few years, and we are expecting our first child in a few months.
Fabulous.
We are thrilled and a bit nervous, too. I am curious if you have any advice for new parents with regard to things to do to keep a marriage healthy, or advice otherwise.
Yes.
I know this isn't rocket science. The best way to approach any situation in marriage is to love the Lord and each other. Just wanted to see if you had any wisdom to share about the situation.
Yes, anticipate change. Anticipate the unexpected. Mm-hmm. Expect the unexpected. And remember, marriage happens on purpose. Mm-hmm. Your sex life will happen on purpose. Sneezing happens unexpectedly. But everything else happens on purpose. In the beginning, marriage relationship is all automatic. It's all automatic. You're running off of emotions and this and that and stuff. And then what happens? And the people who don't make that transition are the ones who suffer in their marriages.
Again, you have to sneeze again. Bless you.
Good heavens.
Your body's on its own...
I'm being very cathartic. My nose is being cathartic. Right, it's purging my snaz. Mm-hmm. But that's the advice, dear. Expect the unexpected. And now you're going to go from automatic to intentional.
Yep.
That's the difference. Mm-hmm. And people who don't get that struggle because they'll think their marriage is over, it's not working because it's not automatic and I don't have time and I'm too tired. Blah, 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 we don't have time for each other. Blah. No, you just have to go to intentional. As soon as you become parent, it goes from automatic to intentional. That's why people who do parenthood are people who, by and large, are not selfish individuals who know, okay, we're going to do life now and we're going to do it intentionally. Boy, people could just get that.
Yep. It would make a huge difference.
Huge difference. They don't get it. They don't understand why everything changes in life. You know, anything big, at some point, even for the narcissistic ones who don't want to have children, at some point, your marriage will become, if you're going to succeed, it will transform from automatic to intentional.
Yep.
Nobody does automatic for a lifetime. It just doesn't happen.
Nope.
And what happens is when it turns from automatic to intentional, people freak out.
Yep.
And they only get to shave at that.
I'm just making myself a note because that was good.
It was brilliant.
What is brilliant?
Brilliant. Simply brilliant. That's where people struggle. Yep. When their marriage goes from automatic to intentional.
Children or not.
I brought that into when I have to do any kind of premarital coaching. I brought that into that platform. It's one of the things that I talk about in the very beginning.
Good.
And I also share it during the actual ceremony.
Yeah, I don't hear it. I'm convinced single people don't hear anything.
You have to keep revisiting it down the road.
I do. I have a 6-month checkup after I do weddings.
Trying to counsel someone about marriage before they get married is like trying to have a conversation about advanced mathematics with an alcoholic at a bar.
Well, that's exactly what I'm thinking. That theory is different than the other theory you had before that. I mean, they're not hearing you. They're on drugs. They're like the guy who wants to smoke marijuana who wrote in earlier.
They don't hear it.
That's why we've got to shift more to intent. That's the other thing. I think churches are making the big mistake. Pastors are making a big mistake. The whole marriage movement is making a big mistake by putting all our eggs into the pre-marriage counseling
bucket.
I agree with that.
I think it has to be done. It's a necessary evil. I just am totally unconvinced it has much effect.
Sure.
What we've got to switch to is post-marriage counseling.
Yeah.
That if we will marry you, that's why we want you marry unless you're part of the congregation, you know. We do life together.
Do the mentoring thing.
We don't have a moment together. Marriage, the ceremony is a moment. Marriage is a lifetime. We will help you with your marriage. And quite frankly, we ought to be able to say, look, I'll marry you. I will do pre-marriage counseling, but you have to agree to come back and see me once a year for the first 5 years. Mm-hmm. And you'll literally sit down and you'll work with them. How's it going? Are you driving each other crazy yet? Remember when I said such? Now it makes sense. You know, then work them through it. Help them walk. The kids come along and say, now you're going to switch from automatic to intentional. How's it going? We've got to help people do life right.
Are you looking for the next romantic getaway or planning the next family vacation? Whether it is around the world or around the corner, Grace Point Travel can help you with all your travel needs. Take advantage of their extensive training and experience as you look to plan your next adventure. You can call George and Judy Oakes at 206-203-3927 or email them at gracepointtravel@usfamily.net. If you prefer to book your own getaway yourself, you can try their easy-to-use self-service website with a complete range of options, including cruises, hotels, even tickets to concerts and sporting events. Don't delay in planning your next trip. Travel to www.gracepointtravel.com and make your plans today. That's www.gracepointtravel.com.
It's here, finally. For years, Mark Gunger has been asked to create a product for teenagers, and the time is now. Sex, Dating, and Relating is the newest product brought to you by Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America. In this 4-disc DVD set, Mark covers the topics of sex, dating, and relating in a straightforward and relevant way that teens will sit up and pay attention to.
And there's that one special cosmic being out there just for you. No, there's not. Okay? It is a bunch of hooey.
In partnership with National Abstinence Speaker Pam Stenzel, Mark and Pam tackle the topic of sex in a real way. honest, and to the point. Not just telling our teens what not to do, but why they should wait for marriage.
Students, you have a 4 times greater risk of contracting a disease today than you ever have of being pregnant. Pregnant teen girls in your state today are carrying, on average, 2.3 sexually transmitted diseases.
Sex, dating, and relating is perfect for parents and teens to watch together, for youth groups and school groups. It's all the information you wish you would have heard when you were young. Make sure your teenager gets this information before it's too late. To order your copy, visit us online today at laughyourway.com. Sex, dating, and relating. Give this gift of knowledge to your teen today.
And all I could taste is this moment. And all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't want to miss you tonight.
Why? What's the significance?
I don't know.
I just know you're going to have something sarcastic to say. Come on, go off on the movie now. Come on. What a lame movie. I mean, come on.
What? What?
You know, this is the Mark Gunger Show. Just talking about moving through life in marriage. Talking about the difference between going from automatic to intentional. It's like when you first get married, it's like you're driving a really slick modern car with the smoothest automatic transmission you possibly can have. Then you go to the kind that you have to start physically hitting the switcher to switch in the, and then you go to the clutch.
It's from automatic to manual.
And now you're doing manual.
Yep.
And then after a while, you're driving a 18-wheeler.
Yeah.
Going through 16 different gears to make it here or there. You ever drive one of those things?
An 18-wheeler?
No. Yeah.
No, nothing that big.
I have.
Done you trackers. Have?
Yeah, I used to have a chauffeur's license. I drove one for a little while.
Oh, wow.
The
I didn't
ministry
know that.
I was in. Yeah.
I did 12 wheels. That was only because
how
it was a tractor
gears?
Pulling three different things.
Well, you know, I don't know
it.
How many wheels it was, literally.
I had three
it was
18, different...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It may not have actually been eight. But it was a semi-truck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Peterbilt or
with
something
with all
like
the
that.
Gears.
Yeah.
I'd rather do that than some of the things I did.
Oh, yeah. Still fun. But it's not automatic.
Correctamundo.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying marriage isn't still fun. It's just that you got to learn to do a manual stick after a while. There you go.
We like automatic a lot better.
Most people, yeah, it's easier. Mm-hmm. But it is what it is. So for all of you people who just found that out after you got married.
Go ahead and scream your head off. We're miles from where anyone can hear you.
Awesome.
Okay, boys, ready for a math problem?
Yes.
Okay, here's the math problem. It says, I have a friend that is about to marry a girl 10 years younger. This brought us the question, at what age does it become appropriate to date someone 10 years younger? That means they were in kindergarten when you were a junior in high school. Ew.
Okay.
So the formula, this is a formula that I have found, is half your age plus 7 years, and that's good. So, like, if you're 40, you divide that in half and
so
add 7 years. So she has to be 27 if you're 40. Any thoughts on that little math problem?
So if you're 50, you marry a 32-year-old. Did I do that right? Yeah.
Well, like, for me, because I'm 47, I could marry a guy who's 31.
Are you thinking about, why do you have this
formula already figured out? No, I was just using my number.
Diane's already, what can I get now?
The problem is,
get me one of them young boys out there.
Clay is only 25. That's the problem. So I'm outside of his mathematical formula.
Gosh, I don't know when has ever come up with a formula.
So if I'm 20... 10 plus 7 is the person has to be 17.
Right? So if you're 20 and 17, is that right?
In theory.
Does that mathematically hold out? So
30 like and 22?
So 15 plus 7, and, 22.
Well, if you were 62, your wife could be 38.
And 40 and 27.
50, 32, right?
I'm 100, which 60, means 57.
60, 37. Okay, so let's say you're 70.
That kind of holds up. That's a pretty good formula, actually.
It's because of the number 7.
No.
Religious implications.
The older you get, the age gap gets to be... No. Boys, you're crazy. Because if you're 70, that means that she's 42. Or, you know, if she's 70, he's 42. That's
70
divided by half is 35 plus 7 42. Is 42. I don't think that it's okay if you're younger, but the older you get and you start dividing that in half, it gets to be a little funky. I mean, could you see me with a 31-year-old, boys? Come on.
Sure, baby. I can see it.
See, 7 means completion.
Oh, yeah.
Remember what Jesus said upon the cross?
What?
I have no idea. It is finished.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with 7.
I'm not just saying, is 7 really the Lord's number? That's why I was playing. You know, religious implications here.
I don't know where he came up with this formula, but I mean, it works if you're, you know, 40 and 27.
Tom Hanks. Wasn't there a movie about the Bible code or something that he was in?
Oh, the Da Vinci Code.
The Da Vinci Code, yeah. 10 and 7.
I never saw that movie.
You didn't? It wasn't that good because the book was so much better. Actually, it was quite a good book. I liked it.
Really?
Movie was a high disappointment. Mm-hmm. Okay, so are you with this math formula? Do you think it works for so long or up to a certain point?
You know, I really don't think math has a whole lot to do with it. I gotta tell you.
I'm in agreement there.
I mean, it's fascinating, and I kind of see that working.
Yeah.
You know?
We used to think it was fascinating because my grandparents had 18 years difference between them. So we always used to joke that my grandfather was graduating from high school the year my grandmother was born, which we thought was so funny when we were kids.
Yeah.
But it worked. I mean, they had many years together.
Yeah, the older you are, the less all of it matters, to be honest with you. It's that early. Yeah, at 20, you should not be marrying a 4-year-old.
No.
You know, that's a little creepy.
That's a little commonsensical.
So that's, you know, it's the early years where it seems really creepy.
Mm-hmm.
The older you get, the less the age thing matters, quite frankly.
But then when you get too old and the age difference is there, like if he's 70 and you're, what do we say, 70 and 42, and she's still going to be wanting to have sex, and 70, he's going to be shutting down the tent.
What's the formula other way, though?
Well, I met a couple recently where it's that way, and it was that way the opposite.
She was 70.
And he was
like 40-something.
Yeah.
Well, then there you go. She's got it made. That's all
is there? Okay, say that's the formula for, you know, digging down the age bracket. But what about if you're going up?
Just a minute. Sorry. That was a bad look. It's like, oh, yeah, great for some 70-year-old guy to have the 42-year-old hottie. But when you say a 70-year-old woman,
the only thing I can say, and what girls have going for them is... they tend to outlive their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
They tend, but they don't age nearly as well as men. It's just the reality.
It
is what it is. You know, the older you get.
But there are some pretty 70-year-old women. There are still some very attractive 70-year-old women.
Yeah, and there's, you know, extremely good-looking 57-year-old men like myself.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But beyond that, you know, it's pretty thin.
I still want to know the equation
for going
up.
But men tend to, you know who I think, you know, like a George Bush.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, at some point, now he looks really old.
Yes.
At some point, the guy will catch up.
Yes.
They really do.
Yes.
At some point, everybody just starts looking. But for a while there, he looked like he's, you know, with his mom.
You're talking about the first George.
Yeah, the first George Bush, you know, because Barbara aged
She just looked like a granny when he didn't necessarily.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She looked like a granny. He still looked like he probably looked when he was 50.
Yeah.
You know, so that's the only
thing. It was the blue hair.
She had real white hair.
Well,
hers was all white.
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't have killed her maybe to fight it off a bit, you know. But he loved her. And,
I hope that I'm around when I'm 70, just so you know.
What, to try to prove us wrong?
Sure. You'll be gorgeous.
Yeah, seriously. It's like you'd be rolling your eyes and making faces.
Say, look at that geezer. Good Lord.
Diane, is that you?
Look at that.
Yuck.
Diane?
No.
Well, let me tell you.
So anyway, I've seen the 70-year-old guy.
Yeah. Okay.
With the 40-year-old wife or whatever.
Well, I've seen 70-year-old guys who are, too. And then I've seen 70-year-old guys who are like Harrison Ford, who are like, oh, man.
You know? Yeah, I don't know.
I haven't seen much the other way.
Statement.
When you see a 40-year-old guy and a 7-year-old wife, that is much more shocking to the eye, is all I can tell you.
You have a very, very dysfunctional palette of hotness to go from Clay Matthews to Harrison Ford.
Harrison's pretty handsome.
Harrison Ford is still pretty kicking it, and he's almost 70. Isn't he like 68 or something now?
That's going to be me, baby.
Sean Connery?
Sean Connery, he's over 70. Sean's got it going on.
Hey, what has ever happened to this man? You never hear about Sean Connery anymore.
It's because he's a secret agent.
I don't know. No, that was when he played James Bond. It was just a movie part, Mark. Don't you understand
really?
That?
Really? I thought that was real.
My grandfather married like 40 years younger.
What?
My grandfather, I think he married, when his wife passed away X amount of years later, he married someone that was younger than my mother.
Younger than his daughter?
Yes. Like by a few years.
Connery's 81, by the way.
Sean Connery.
I haven't seen him recently, so I'm sure he's not quite so great as he was when he was in his 70s.
He's pretty slick looking. Some of these guys look pretty good.
I know that Harrison Ford is, he's, I think, 68 the last time I looked it up.
So anyway.
Bizarre. Talk about a weird family dynamic.
Somebody younger than
my
your daughter?
My mom having a stepmother who's younger than she is?
That's
oh, he really
weird.
Did marry her?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, I thought he was thinking about marrying her. No, he actually married someone younger than his daughter.
Oh, yes.
Well, how creepy was that?
Oh, it was very creepy. And
it was okay with him, I suppose.
Yeah, tell us later, Ross.
Keep up with some things you just don't want to share.
Harrison Ford is 69, but did you see Cowboys versus Aliens?
Yeah.
He's a pretty darn hot cowboy.
You know who else has aged? You know who else has aged well is the guy in Tron.
Jeff Bridges.
Yeah,
he's still good looking. I don't know how old he is. He's
Except
still good
for in
looking.
The cowboy movie, True Grit.
Nah, he was just kind of dirty in that.
Wasn't he awesome?
Great movie.
It was a great movie.
Great actor.
One of the best movies ever.
Jeff Bridges
the second
is
one.
61.
Much better than the original.
Bridges is 61.
Oh, he looks a lot older than that.
The dude.
Doesn't
he?
He's lived hard.
Yeah, now there's the opposite.
Who's the guy?
I thought for sure he was 70, the way he looks.
How old is Daniel Craig?
How old am I?
You're 50. You're going to be 57. Are you going to be 57 or are you going to be 58?
I'm going to be 57, actually.
That's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I thought. I was not wanting to age you. Oh, see, Daniel Craig's younger than I am. Are you kidding me?
Do you know there's one
he's
character...
He's only 43? He looks older than that. Daniel Craig. You know the guy that... It was James Bond. He was in the Cowboys and Aliens.
Yeah.
He's younger than me.
There is one male that I have watched change over the years that I think it went from geek to super chic. And let me see if you can... Patrick Dempsey.
Yeah.
That guy went from nerd. Yeah. I mean, he was like you're looking at this going, dude, good luck. And now he is just one of these guys. I mean, you talk about guys aging better. That's always when I think about that. Patrick Dempsey, the one that I think of all the time.
I can't
see, he's
like
younger
Patrick.
Than me, too. He's 45. He's younger than me. Doesn't count. I'm looking at the old dudes. The ones older
like?
Than
Let
me.
Let me see. Oh, yeah. He's seriously good looking.
Yes.
But now... I mean,
and
check him out.
Like a geek?
Oh my gosh. Check out like a young image, like young.
He's like Mr.
He's Mr.
Here.
Handsome.
He's Mr. GQ.
He is.
Yeah,
he is.
I thought I don't look like
so,
that.
So, Ross, anyway, is all that to say, I go from Clay all the way up to Sean Connery. So, yeah, there's a wide range in what
shoot.
I find. Well, you say the same thing that
what
about
brought
women.
This all up? Why did we start talking about this?
I don't
aging.
Know. Aging. The age formula thing about
email. I knew we started out there.
What
somewhere.
A rabbit trail.
So, I have no idea. Age formula, that's not like a good formula
but you
to me.
Guys
but
say
the older
that
you are, the less it matters, I think.
There's a wide range in what you find attractive in women.
Yeah, no, I
so,
get it.
I can have a wide range of what I find attractive in men.
No one said you couldn't.
Clay, well, Ross was challenging that
Ross
and saying,
is
Clay
a girly man.
In Sean Connery and Harrison Ford, like I was broken and he used the word dysfunctional, I think.
I did.
I think he actually used the word
dysfunctional. Yes,
okay.
Range of hotness.
So someone really wants to know our opinion of this or they're just pulling our legs?
No. I don't think they care.
I don't think they really care. I mean,
it doesn't really matter. Marry who you want
to
marry.
If you're 20, don't marry a 4-year-old. We care.
Then we would care.
You're in your 50s, you want to marry a 30-year-old? I don't care.
Knock yourself out.
Knock yourself out. Okay.
Knock yourself out. Okay. This question says, Mark, I've recently went on a marriage retreat through the military. We watched your video of Laugh Your Way to a Better Marriage. I enjoyed it very much. My question to you is in reference to my husband. For the last month and a half, he has been talking to another woman. Uh-huh. This is a woman who we went to school with. It started out with her finding him on Facebook. They chatted here and there on Facebook, and then it turned out into texting, calling, and emailing on a daily basis. He was hiding all of this from me. I ended up finding out about it and questioned him. He states that they are just friends. So I left it at that until I was being pushed aside for them to talk.
Oh my gosh.
He would find ways to leave so he could talk to her. And again, it was all being hidden from me. This has caused a lot of issues between us, I bet. I try to talk to him about it, but I am to blame. I have asked him to stop talking to her, and he said okay, but he hasn't. He tells me he wants to fix it, and he will show me I am the one he wants to be with. Well, that happens for a few days, and then it's right back to square one. In your video, you stated that men need to make their wives a priority. How do I become the priority again? It hurts me so much that he's doing this and is lying about it. It makes me feel there is nothing more going on. It makes me feel there is more going on, than I know. The only good thing is that they are 8 hours away from each other, so apparently they can't see one another. I am to the point I am ready to tell him I want a divorce. We have 5 children together, and I just can't keep doing this.
Well, sweetheart, you silly, silly, silly girl. You just don't tolerate it.
Yeah, I asked her if there were any consequences,
if you don't want to talk to another girl,
back.
Just done. Mm-hmm. It's done. Women in great marriages don't have your problem. Because they know who they are and they know what they believe. Mm-hmm. I find some woman I like talking to, my wife doesn't like me talking to her, it's done.
And you're leaving and neglecting her to do it.
I can give all the excuses I want. It's non-negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he still can is a sign of weakness on your part.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You just say, you choose me or her, straight up. You don't talk to her anymore. If you talk to her, don't come home. And if I find out you're talking to her, I'll kick you out.
Yes.
And then he might push that because you're weak and he doesn't believe mm-hmm. you anyway. And when he does it, you kick him out. Straight up, don't divorce him. Just freak the crap out of him for a week. No, I'm sorry. Okay. Can I come home? Yeah. Will you keep seeing the girl? No. Okay. It's very simple, ladies.
Yes.
You girls make things way too complicated. Well, I can't separate. I can't do. But listen to her. What did she say? I don't think I can take it anymore.
Ready?
See,
they
wait until they can't take it anymore. You girls won't fight for your marriage while you still care. You wait till you don't care, then you fight. And you're all a bunch of wackos to me. I don't understand it. Why? They will toe the line. Once they quit caring, they'll divorce them. They'll take everything they got. They don't care. But when they're still married to them, they won't fight.
Nope. Well, I tell him, and it really bothers me, and he knows he doesn't, and I don't like it. I said, please don't do it, and I don't like it when you're with that other girl, and you shouldn't be leaving me to be.
That's all he hears from you is this. That you don't do jack squat.
I think
and you shouldn't even have to defend yourself in any way, shape, or form concerning this. All you know, he's talking to a woman you don't want him talking to. End of story. Come on, girl. Get up here.
Ross,
or what's her name said, Betty White.
Oh, yeah.
No, you should be
Betty White says, everybody says get a pair, but them things are tender and sensitive. You ought to tell people to get a vagina. They take a beating all day long. Doesn't bother them.
Yes.
So come on, girl, get a vagina for heaven's sakes.
Oh, my
God. Quit putting up with this. Okay. Honey, what is the matter with women? I don't understand.
I know.
It. For the life of me, I don't understand it.
And there's another one. I put them together because there's another one.
Well, wait for the break because I got to heal after this one.
Okay.
But for heaven's sakes. Ross.
Yes.
Your wife has one girl she doesn't want you talking to.
Yep.
What happens?
Oh, we don't even have the conversation.
What if she were to say to you?
If she looked at you and
you
said, Ross,
you don't have the conversation.
I mean,
I don't have
say,
that conversation.
Yeah, you never talk to the girl again.
Absolutely.
It's done.
Oh, I mean, your wife would say, Leslie would say something to you like,
if
Ross,
If she felt like she needed to, I mean, which.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, would you keep pushing the issue?
No.
She'd kill you.
Yeah. Yes. I enjoy this.
Your husband's out flirting with some shit. You don't talk to some shit you don't like.
No.
You just say, stop.
It's like, no.
Done.
No.
Done. You don't
and
have
if
to,
he kept pushing
have,
it, there would be a problem.
Yeah, you don't have
I
to justify.
You
don't have the right to the Mark Gunger show. You don't have to ask any friends. You don't need a counselor.
No.
Just know. Any woman who has a great marriage would not tolerate this.
No.
The reason this woman has a lousy marriage and her marriage is falling apart, she thinks it's him. It's not him. It's her.
And that's,
I know that
the
sounds terrible,
bitterest
sweetheart,
pill for them to swallow.
It's the hardest thing for them to swallow. Yep. It's you, darlings. Yes. It's your problem's not your husband. The problem's you. Go look in a mirror. That girl you see standing there all weak and wooshy, that's you. That's your problem. You tell him you do not ever talk to this woman again. You hear me? You make a choice. You just, no, I'm just saying.
Well, she did say that she told him that she doesn't like it.
Well, but then so you have to do something. I don't like it. I don't like it.
Where are the consequences?
I don't like it. That's just the goat. I don't like it.
Yep. I don't like it. See, because she still has, no vagina.
There are a lot of things
to use
that
the opposite
don't like
of not
too.
Having a pair.
Because you're saying you have to tell her, and I can hear her voice saying, "But I did tell him."
No, she didn't. She said, "I didn't like it." What does that mean? I don't care. My wife doesn't like a whole lot of things. I still do them anyway.
I want him to know.
But when
that
my
it
wife
hurts
lays
my
down
heart.
The law,
yes.
And says no, end of story. End of story.
That's it. Yep. There has to be some law land.
Your husband keeps talking to this woman because you let him.
Yep. Your methods
no,
are
No, I don't.
Broken.
It bothers me. I don't.
No. He doesn't come home. Straight up. Leave.
Tell
go
his
move
dad.
In with a
Tell
friend. Go
dad.
Back to your
but
mom.
But not to divorce him, to just
right.
force the
no, but
issue.
But my point is, she would say, I can't kick him out because I can't stand on my own. And I
but
can't
she's ready to divorce.
But you're going
to
divorce him anyway and do it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
See, they're all full of it, these girls. They're all whining, oh, I can't do it because I don't have money, and I can't do it because I can't do it, and I can't go back to my family. But then they'll wait until the marriage falls apart, and then they divorce them anyway and do the very thing they said they couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. How about you confront the situation with intensity right while away. You still care right now, right away?
That boy will probably straighten up and fly right real quick.
Honestly. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Find yourself missing episodes of The Mark Gunger Show? No need to worry. Go to iTunes.com and download all of our podcasts, which are made available free to you, our loyal listener. Join Mark and co-hosts as they continue to discuss any and all issues concerning life, love, and marriage.
My sport is football, but my passion is education. My name is Nnamdi Asamoah, and this is how I live United. I see too many kids miss out on moving up. Kids who could go on to college but just need that extra little push. So every year, I take promising high school students on a college tour. We check out the dorms, the library, meet some professors, find out where the best late-night grub stops are. It shows them that there's a whole world beyond their own. But what's even better is that most of these kids decide college is for them. I'm Nnamdi Asamoah. I show kids that a higher education means a brighter future. So when it comes to living united, I don't just wear the shirt, I live it. Join me.
It takes all of us working together to make a difference. Find out how you can live united for education. Give, advocate, volunteer. Go to liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Mark Gunger and Laugh Your Way America are pleased to present this much-anticipated DVD set, Singles and Stinking Thinking, A Clear Path to Marriage. This four-disc set gives practical and straightforward advice that singles need to hear when it comes to dating and marriage and making the right decision. Taught from a definite Christian worldview, Mark challenges the over-spiritualized, over-romanticized expectations that fill the heads of so many singles. More than 4 hours of teaching, this series includes sessions on finding a spouse, the do's and don'ts of dating, and sex makes you stupid, and so much more. This DVD is for all singles from age 16 to 90 with an eye toward marriage. Parents, if you are looking for a resource that is packed full of biblical wisdom to help instruct your son and daughter on a path towards a successful married future, this is the DVD set for you. Order your copy now at laughyourway.com or call 1-866-525-2844. That's laughyourway.com.
That's
what?
marvel factor. Can you just hear him singing? It's just like not very
enunciated.
Yeah.
I love his voice.
That's great, isn't it? Doesn't hold a candle to you too, but he's awesome.
To us too.
You're listening to the Mark Gunger Show. After this one's like on that, she's an army wife.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Man, do you have any girlfriends? Good grief, go talk to your girlfriend. I can't imagine there's many army women who would put up with that kind of nonsense.
I wouldn't guess so.
My husband's spending time with a woman I don't want him to do. Most women look at you like, you're crazy. Are you serious? It's done. Okay. You say no.
Okay, there's another one. I put them together because there's another one that's almost just like it.
Is that an army wife too?
No, not army wife. I enjoy listening to your show whenever I can. Appreciate the opinions you share. My husband and I have been married for 3 years. Before we got married, I found out that my husband has several female friends and that one of them is his ex-girlfriend from 20 years ago. When I found out about this, I was furious, especially when he wanted to visit with her back in his hometown. He, in the past, before I met him...
Some guys really have a pair, don't they?
Yes.
Sheesh.
Yes.
All right.
He would go back to the... Before she met him, he would go back to the hometown and stay at this gal's house in the daughter's room.
No!
The daughter would stay with the mom or whatever. My husband claims that they have always had a close friendship, and that is all. I had discussed this with my husband before we got married, and I told him I wasn't comfortable with it or with any other
friends.
Okay,
what kind of lame... See, they're just, these women are so lame. They're just so lame. I'm not comfortable with it.
How about I'll whack your wiener off if you go back?
Yeah, now that he understands. Honestly, you girls, what is the matter with you? Well, I'm not comfortable. See, they think that says something to a man. It doesn't say
anything
to a man.
He does not hear that at all.
When you say, I'm not comfortable, we think, okay, we don't care.
She says they understand if it's a mutual female friend that he wants to have and they see them together, but not alone. My husband is a fairly new Christian and has never been exposed to what a Christian marriage should be like. I try to talk to him about the things that aren't appropriate, and he says he agrees, but then continues to do them behind my back. He blames it on me for being insecure about our marriage. I don't feel like I am. I trust him, but I feel this is inappropriate behavior. Should married men have separate female friends they associate with?
Yes.
Without
their
wives?
Yes. Yes, men should have women that they go stay with them on the road, so they have someone to keep them warm.
I must
at night.
Have said something. You guys are cracking up. What did I misspeak or say something? Okay.
No, but I'll just keep saying. Going. Just the question is absurd.
No, he should not have girlfriends without you.
I mean, the fact that she even has to ask the question shows what a weak place she's in. Should Christian men have girlfriends? Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, sure.
No.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to have 4 or 5, actually.
Girls that you just go out
and
hang out
I'm trying
with
to find some. I just can't find anybody who wants to, you know. Use Puerto Rican.
Do you find it, when you hear this stuff now, Mark, do you find yourself almost not feeling sympathy for these women? Because really
without
hard
question. I know, it sounds really mean. But I can't take it anymore. I just can't take it.
You're getting
you're getting exactly what you asked for.
What you asked for.
I told him.
I'm uncomfortable.
Who cares what that means? You tell him no. And what do you care? The fact that you care what I think is a problem.
Absolutely.
It doesn't matter what I think. All that matters is what you think. You don't want him talking to the girl? End of story. What else do we gotta say? See ya.
Bye-bye, boy.
Have fun storming the castle.